Good morning. I'm Pastor Jared, and it's good to see you all here this morning. It's a beautiful rainy day. I would say few people love rain more than my wife, and I see why it's such a beautiful thing. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll be reading in the book of Jonah. Jonah 1, verses 1 to 3 in the English Standard Version. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. This is God's word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit-inspired word that is a living document that reaches our hearts. And I pray as we begin this series on the book of Jonah, that you would reach our hearts, that you would teach us mercy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So while John is on sabbatical, I'm going to start this sermon series on the book of Jonah. So for 6 of the 11 Sundays, we'll be looking at Jonah, and the title is God's Call to Mercy. And I was really quite strategic about doing a series on the book of Jonah and mercy in particular, because we just finished this series on Genesis 1 to 11. And what we ran into a lot was judgment. Judgment and mercy. But more than that, judgment. In Genesis 3, humanity is kicked out of the garden. Genesis 6 to 9, there's a cosmic judgment. Genesis 11, God comes down and disrupts the Tower of Babel. And we see this dramatic judgment, yet there is still mercy in there because humanity still continues. There is still a chance for them. And the book of Jonah meets this. It mingles mercy and judgment and causes us to face mercy ourselves. How can God still be merciful? And really, my heart behind doing this series is, I think that after a series like that, when we talk about judgment a lot, we tend to focus on judgment. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we can tend to be judgy people. And that's not what our God is like. Yes, he does judgment, but he does judgment. And he teaches us mercy, because he is merciful. This whole book is about meeting that need of Genesis with mercy. And that's what we're going to do in this series of Jonah. So to start, I kind of want to get a big concept idea of Jonah the prophet. Because if I were to ask any of you, you would probably understand Jonah from the book of Jonah as a disobedient prophet who ran from God. But there's also another time where Jonah is mentioned in the Bible that isn't often spoke of. 2 Kings 14, Jonah is mentioned, and he is a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam II, before exile. And he is actually depicted as quite a faithful prophet. In 2 Kings 14, verse 25, it says, "Amaziah restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher." So according to 2 Kings, Jonah speaks the word of God to the king, and what he speaks happens. That's the office of a prophet. That's what they were designed to do. And so in saying this, in drawing out Jonah's character, what I'm suggesting is that more than a problem of Jonah, we have a problem of mercy. God's mercy does not equal Jonah's mercy. And so I want you to humor me a little bit here. I'm going to show a short clip from VeggieTales just for the purpose of illustrating. So let's go ahead and watch.
Before he went to sleep, Jonah would pray and ask God if there was a new message for him to deliver. And this night, there was a message that would change Jonah's life.
A new message? Yes. What's that? People being unkind? Lying? Stealing? Oh, dear. Sounds like a standard turn and repent to me. All right, name the town. I'll be on my way first thing in the morning. Where is it? Jericho? Damascus? What? Nineveh? I'm not aware of any Ninevehs in Israel. No, I don't think... Oh, you mean that Nineveh? That Nineveh wasn't in Israel at all. It was the capital of Assyria, and it was the biggest, meanest city around. Now, the people of Nineveh were particularly mean to Jonah's people, the Israelites. They lied. They stole. But worst of all, they slapped people with fishes. They even slapped each other with fishes. They didn't know the difference between right and wrong. The Ninevites were so mean, in fact, that most Israelites, including Jonah, wished God would just wipe Nineveh off the face of the earth. Needless to say, Jonah was shocked that God would want him to deliver a message to his enemies.
For humoring me with that video. The reason why I wanted to show this video is because what it illustrates so well is that Jonah could not see how God could have mercy on these evil people. And just to clarify, Nineveh did more than lie and steal and slap people with fish. Nineveh, we have found historical writings of Nineveh and what they bragged about. What they bragged about was burning cities to the ground with people left in them. They bragged about delimbing people but leaving one limb to shake their hand and mock them. They bragged about beheading people and forcing their family to parade it around town. They bragged about skinning people alive. They bragged about slavery. Needless to say, anyone with a bone of justice in their body would prefer that God would just get rid of Nineveh. In fact, a century later, the book of Nahum prophesies exactly that. It prophesies that Nineveh is going to be judged for what they have done. But we need to look at Jonah. What if God is merciful? What if he is so merciful that he is willing to have mercy on anyone? That's the problem of Jonah. And that's the heart of what we find. In Jonah 4, verses 2, he clearly states this problem. And if you like to take notes in your Bible, if you got one of those journals, I want you to make a star by 4, verse 2. This is what it says. O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah wrestled with how God could have mercy, that he could go to this depth of mercy for these people. But Jonah is not just one unique character. He's an example of all humanity. God's mercy does not equal our mercy. And so you should probably be wondering by this point, okay, Pastor, if God's mercy is not Jonah's mercy, and if God's mercy is not our mercy, what is God's mercy? God's mercy is the cross. That is the full display of mercy. Jesus was put on trial accused of things he didn't do. He was beaten. He was laid on a Roman cross, nails driven into his hands and his feet. And when he was lifted up to look on his enemies, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do." That is mercy. And that is the mercy for each of us. And that's hard to understand. That's the wrestling match that we are invited into in the book of Jonah. Yesterday, we had the men's conference, and what George Budd spoke on, I think it really meets the heart of where I'm going here. He shared on the prodigal son. And it was interesting what he did, because usually you hear the prodigal son, and you would know that usually what people will talk about is the son that left, lived recklessly, and returned, only to receive grace. But what George focused on was the older brother. Because in the larger context, the Pharisees and scribes were complaining to Jesus that he was dealing with the sinners and tax collectors. And so Jesus told this story to confront the elder brother. The elder brother could not understand how God could have mercy on the prodigal son, how he could have mercy on him. I noticed that in the church, we are more often like the elder brother than we are like the prodigal son. And let me be the first to admit that mercy is often not my first choice. I want to share a painful story that I have about not extending mercy. My older brother, at one time, he started dating a non-Christian, a non-follower of Jesus. And our family was a little bit frustrated about it. I know I was, and what I did is I kind of just, you know, pushed him off, didn't talk to him as much as I should, and, you know, you could tell that I was being judgy. You could tell that I was not extending mercy. And the reason it's so painful to remember is because when he went through hard times, I wasn't there. And that's the problem of the elder brother in the story. We need to show mercy. And what God ended up doing is bringing them both back to him. And I was left to stand there to see his mercy and to think that I was not there. You see, we read this, the book of Jonah, and we think, okay, so Jonah has a problem with mercy, having mercy on his enemies, and so we think, okay, we got to have mercy on our enemies. Yet the place where we need to show the most mercy is in our own homes, with our own families, with our own children, with our own spouse. When we learn this mercy in our household, when we continue to face the cross, what Jesus did for us, we then can have mercy on our families, on our household. That is the way of mercy. God's mercy equals the cross. And in order for us to understand the level of mercy we need to be at, we need to be more acquainted with the cross, the cost that Jesus went for us. So this kind of preamble, talking about mercy, this concept, this was very intentional, because what we are facing is the problem of mercy in each of our hearts. God's mercy did not equal Jonah's mercy. God's mercy did not equal our mercy. God's mercy is the cross. We need to learn more about the cross. And that is what we are going to face. So with that in mind, we get to Jonah 1:1. And I want to look at the first response to mercy. So in Jonah 1, verses 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" The call of Jonah is really quite strange, just for the reason that, as the VeggieTales episode pointed out, the prophet is called to go outside of Israel. Usually what the prophet did was call repentance just inside the nation of Israel. And Jonah, he has a problem with that. Because the reason is their evil has come up before me. So like the Tower of Babel, where they were so evil, God must intervene. And how he's going to do that is he's going to warn them about what is coming. Jonah doesn't like that because he knows it means they'll turn. He knows, like the elder brother in the prodigal son, that this is a display of mercy. So, like many of us, when we are faced with this mercy, we get to verse 3. "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord." Jonah does the exact opposite of what God commanded. Instead of going to Nineveh, way out east, he's going to go to Tarshish, west. Instead of land, water. Everything is the opposite of what God commanded. And in pointing this out, I hope if it's not clear by this point, I'm not saying, I don't want you to think, don't be like Jonah. Or to think Jonah's an example of what not to do. What I want to point out is what Jonah said implicitly by what he did. By fleeing God, he basically said, "I know better than you. I know better than you, so I'm going to go my own way." And how often do we do that? You know, the story that I shared earlier, that was an example where I did that. And in my marriage, there's times where I don't choose mercy. And with my family, this is a real issue in us, that we do not choose what God wants. And the problem is that Jonah had a problem with the call and a problem with the God who called him. He had a problem with facing his mercy. And this is a crucial point, because there's so many times where we think that God maybe hasn't called us somewhere, yet what he might be calling us to is to our family members, to our neighbors, to the people in our church, to extend mercy and love. God's will isn't some great, extravagant, big thing. Sometimes maybe it is, but God's will is to love your neighbor, is to go above and beyond for the people you love, to extend to them mercy. So then we must learn the way of mercy. We must learn what the cross is about. And one of the places we learn about the way of mercy is from one of Jesus' teaching in Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 32 to 36. Jesus said, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, What benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. The point of this passage is not to say we do a bunch of works now and we develop ministries of mercy and we create our own way forward. The point is, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. To be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful means you get to know your Heavenly Father better. You align with his heart. You learn to align with his mercy and become more like him. Because Jonah had a theological problem and a heart problem. He didn't understand the character of who God was. I want to close with a personal story of my experience, just coming to be a Christian in general, because this is one of those big Christian concepts, mercy, that is really quite difficult if we don't really wrestle with it. So when I first came to know Jesus, I grew up in a Christian home, so I knew there was a lot of assumptions that I thought that's what Christianity was. There's some beliefs that I thought it was, but it didn't add up to me. I wasn't convinced. So I sought out to find it. I wanted to find the Father's heart. So what I did is I made a commitment to read his word. And not just my favorite verses, I made a commitment to read his whole word, cover to cover, multiple times, to wrestle with God, to wrestle with who he is. And as I started to wrestle with God, he started to expose in me the things that needed to change. Because God isn't the one that needs to change. We are the ones that need to align more with who he is. And his word, this book, is not just a historical writing where we admire the faith of former people. This is a surgical instrument designed for open heart surgery to change us. This book is designed to make us more like him. And now, in saying that, it is not just the Bible that changes us to be more like him. It is his spirit that inspires it. It is his spirit that inspires his people. His prayer, his spiritual disciplines. Those are things where we get to know our Father better. Because if we don't get to know the heart of our Father, if we don't get to know what he's like, what he's called us to, we will make up our own calling of what Jesus has called us to, a calling that we think is significant. And for Jonah, what he did is he knew the heart of God. He knew God's call was to have mercy. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm simply just going to end with Jonah's response. What Jonah does is he says, I know better than you. And he goes his own way. And so the question is, what way are we going to go? What are we going to do to wrestle with mercy? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the call to mercy. It is a hard call, and we thank you that you modeled this on the cross. So I pray that we would become more acquainted with the cross, that we would all learn mercy that you have called us to. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us as sinners. Teach us to be more like you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.